Sports Meets Beer podcast. You've heard the sports. Occasionally you hear the meats. Today, we're talking about the beer.
Beer time. Duffman says, okay.
Okay. This is episode 93, ladies and gentlemen. Check us out on wherever you get your podcast, where you already downloaded this from. You can check out all 92 episodes before this.
And actually, it's 140-something, because we've got a lot of part one, part twos.
Right.
That Apple podcast made us change.
A couple of times we released a podcast where all it was somebody farting in a tunnel. Just 10 seconds of a fart in a tunnel.
That's usually what our voice sounds like.
Actually, I think that's our NFL previews. So,
this anyway. Episode is particularly special for me.
Ooh.
Because 1993 is the year that I walked across the stage and accepted my high school diploma from Montgomery High School here in lovely Santa Rosa, California.
I was 11.
You were already cooler than me.
I was 11.
You probably did math a lot better than I did at that age. You were probably doing algebra.
I had to use a slide rule and two calculators just to figure out how old I was in 93 just now, so let's not sell me so high, all right?
Well, this episode is going to be a lot of fun. We've got two local breweries from Sonoma County. We're going to do Bear Republic and Anderson Valley.
Perfect.
And I am going to absolutely shit on one of them. So please stay tuned, and you can hear exactly why.
Is it the website? Is it the beer? Is it the general brand? Who knows? Only you can stick around and find out.
Where's my hot take button? God damn it. No, not that one. There we go. All right. Now that's out of the way. So what we have in front of us today is the first one on the list. And everyone knows in a good movie, you always shit on the first one. Just kidding. Bear Republic, Tiki Totem IPA. This beer is special to me because I have a gigantic tiki tattoo on my forearm.
Right.
Those of you that don't know the story, I'll give you a quick Reader's Digest version. I have little nicknames for both my boys. At the time, my eldest decided to call my youngest Tiki. Was his nickname for everything. Tiki this, Tiki that. And I decided to go to my tattoo artist and all my work for me. He draws this killer Tiki. I still get compliments on it all the time. Really cool Tiki, big fat belly because the kid was fat too. and he has wearing a sombrero because he's born on Cinco de Mayo. So I get home from the tattoo appointment. You know, show it. The wife loves it. I love it. Tattoo artist loves it. And I show.
I hated it.
I show just my oldest, Jack, and I said, hey, buddy. I said, you know how you always call your brother Tiki, right? I said, Dad got a Tiki tattoo on his arm for that, for your nickname. And he looks me dead in the eyes and says, Dad, I don't call him that anymore, and hasn't called him that since. Not day one, has not said anything else since. Hilarious. Every once in a while I bring it up and remind him of that. And then for about a week he calls him Tiki, but still Tiki to me. So
that is the funniest.
It's, dude, I don't have, trust me, I have zero regrets for all my tattoos.
It's a great tattoo. You know,
I have a greasy cheeseburger on my belly.
Right.
I've got mud flaps that say ass kicker on my feet. I have zero regrets.
Yeah.
About any of them. That one just has especially a funny line to it.
Yeah.
So the Tiki Totem IPA.
I want to be clear. The gentleman from Bear Republic who dropped this off asked me specifically to not sample it on the podcast.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said, you know what, man? I've tasted.
What the fuck? Why did you tell me that?
He goes, I've tasted this beer. I have my opinions on it. He goes, I want you, don't sample on the podcast. Sample it first. And if you like it, then we can do it. So I said, okay, great. I'm going to sample it on the podcast. And then he kind of laughed and didn't take me seriously, but I wasn't lying.
One doesn't fuck with Brad Barmore.
I don't understand. So,
yeah.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, this secret beer has ridiculous amounts of cocaine in it.
All right.
No, this is so.
Cashmere, Jester, and Huel Melon hops.
Yes. I can see why the guy said that. Because as we go through the, I'm going to break down some of those hops in here in a second. But as you go through the AATMF, you know, it's got a little, it looks like it's gently unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got some stuff going on there. you know, it's you can kind of make out stuff. Like I probably look prettier through it if you were to look at me through a hazy beer. You know, definitely straw color, blondish light. You know, it's a trend right now, right? Really light color, light bodied hazies. Going through the aroma on this, you know, you pick up. This is where you start to dive into those the malt and the hops. They use white wheat malt, so a wheat malt is going to have, you know, that cereal-ish style to it. And then from this, the Jester hop has probably the most. I'm sorry, the Huel Melon hop, although it has honeydew, it's a European hop.
Okay.
So you're going to get usually with those noble hops and the hops from the European regions tend to have a little more of a mineral, not dirt flavor, but just a real, you know, I guess mineral is probably the best word, almost kind of like a vitamin, right? Your Flintstones chewable or whatever your vitamin of choice is. When that taste is left on your tongue, that kind of leftover excess in nutrients, it's there. That's kind of what that, to me, is what it draws to it. Right of the nose. So you get a little earthiness to it. You do get a little bit of cereal bit from that white wheat malt. And, you know, but judging by how you sipped it, you weren't a big fan.
Well, I love the nose on it.
Yeah.
But there is like a lingering cardboard taste in this thing that I cannot get around.
Yeah. I think it's the Huel Melon. So you get that kind of honeydew.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes like honeydew rind a little bit. So you kind of have that again. It falls back into that very nature, earthy flavor.
Yeah.
It's an earth flavor that you're getting. Now, ordinarily, I don't like these beers.
It's like a dusty cardboard.
However, when you scroll down to the general pairing, which hats off to you, Bear Republic, for having quality stuff like this on your website, you actually list your ingredients.
One of the best websites for review on the show, for sure.
But it does go well with roasted veggies, which got me to, and also barbecue burgers, fried food, which what tell me what beer doesn't go good with food?
Right.
Burgers like that, right? The reason why I think this strikes out to me is I think, especially if you got like a nice char on the roasted veggies, and really, really, you know, got a little bit of that carbon flavor out of it, this would go extremely well with that. And that's the first thing I thought of is like, wow, like I could take, you know, I could even just cook carrots, right? To me, the astringency of carrots or asparagus or one of those things, this would go really well with that.
Okay.
You're saying no?
Yeah, I don't see that there. It's just again, it's like a dusty cardboard thing in the finish. I don't know that there's anything particular. I can't get it out of my mouth. I can't shake it out of my nose. I'm trying really hard. It's a dusty cardboard thing that I'm not feeling it. And you know, you could tell me that there are, you know, sweet cooked carrots or leeks or
beef cheeks.
Something that's got like some really big flavor. But if I have to eat something to wash this out or balance this out on its own, like I'm all about beer pairings. We've talked about this before. I'm all about it. But if I have to eat something to make this beer be better.
We've said that. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it would make it better. I said it would pair wonderfully with it. I think this could stand up on its own. This to me, you know, it doesn't strike me as an IPA. It comes in at 6%, 50 IBUs. It has a little bit of that, like I said, just has a little bit of dirty off taste to it. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think this could be a good beer.
All right.
Not in your world. That's fine.
We've gone
off on that before, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is, depending on how many beers we disagree on, we step away from the microphones, we get into a knife fight. We get winded after about 8.5 seconds.
So luckily, we got little short T-Rex arms because we can't reach each other.
Yikes.
So background on the Huel Melons, it's a daughter of the Cascade hop, right? It's Cascade, very prominent flavors. The Jester hop and the Cashmere hop are both very citrus-based. So wild fruit, You're going to get strong, you know, tropical notes, things like that from both of those. It's funny, I don't get a lot of tropical out of this.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
With the tiki on the label and the description that you see on the little website, it doesn't match. It's a little disconnected there. But actually, I'm not disappointed in the beer. I think the beer is interesting. I don't know if I might order a second one, depending on when my roasted veggies showed up at the table. But I think it's interesting.
I have roasted veggies.
May I please have a side of roasted veggies?
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me is the kind of takeaway. I'm not saying it's not necessarily a crutch. Like we've said on the Danny Wright Morning Show, 97.7 The River Classic Rock for the North Bay.
A booyakasha.
But it's one of those things where that would definitely make this beer, it would pair well. I'll leave it at that. Brad's not a fan, so
I'm not.
That's cool, man. That's why we're doing this thing.
I'm really excited to get into the next one. Yeah, not because I'm really excited about that beer in particular. I'm excited that it's not this beer.
Nice.
Hope you're not listening, Bear Republic. I still love you guys.
Hey, man.
Still love you.
Step in the batter's box. Not every single one's going to be a freaking home run or a single. Sometimes you're going to foul out.
Yeah, I agree.
Sports Meets Beer Podcast is brought to you by Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass and Detail is committed to providing you with the highest quality premium glass products and a professional installation by certified technicians. They are experienced in every aspect of glass replacement or repair, offering factory replacement or a premium aftermarket upgrade. They even deal with those annoying windshield rock chips that show up out of nowhere. They offer free local mobile service and offer a full warranty on all workmanship for as long as you own your vehicle. And across the street at Advanced Detail, they specialize in cars, trucks, vans, RVs, boats, show cars, trailers, and more. They are a full-service auto detailing shop, offering exterior wash, polish and wax, interior vacuum, shampoo, trim detail, and even smoke and odor removal. Water spot and scratch removal, paintless dent repair, it's all available at Advanced Auto Glass and Detail. Advanced Auto Glass, look for the purple building at 2460 Santa Rosa Avenue. And right across the street is Advanced Auto Detail at 2549 Santa Rosa Avenue. Advanced Auto Glass, 707-526-5700. Advanced Auto Detail, 707-526-2200. Let Advanced Auto Glass and Detail take care of all of your automotive needs.
Next one up, Anderson Valley Brewing Company Brute IPA. This will be the fourth Brute we've had on this show.
Yes, and I think we've been pretty happy with all of them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, I think happy is probably. I think we're super intrigued by the category. But I would like to know more about this beer.
Right.
Now I will say, Anderson Valley, your website is pretty, but just like a pretty girl, not always functional. I can't find this beer on your website, and your website navigates really hard and difficult. I'd just like you to fine-tune it a little bit to make it easier to talk about these beers.
Yeah, we need you to spend more time.
Well, no, it's
informational. I understand.
Right. I shouldn't have to lean on Untappd or Rate Beer to talk about the beer. You should be able to puff your chest out and talk about it.
Right.
Which is not the case here.
I think the rate. So let me ask you this. So the rate at which some of these breweries are coming out with.
ABV on this bad boy?
It is ABVC. Just kidding. 4.9%.
Oh, okay. Do you really need to do that right now?
Well, yeah. We wanted to see the label, didn't we?
It's there. You put it on a different can. That's why that label's on there.
Oh, is it? It's not the Hopheiser ale? No, it isn't. It's a brute. Yeah, well, it's fine. It's fine.
I thought you had like an OCD. You know, people at bars will peel off labels all the
time. Yeah, no, I don't have that at all. How many bars? We've been to 100 bars together.
Maybe it's something you recently developed.
Actually, maybe we've been to like 3 bars together. We've just been there 100 times. Anyway.
I can confidently say we've been to 100 bars.
Together?
Yes.
Nah, you're probably right.
Think about just in like South Lake Tahoe. We've been to like six.
Just since Monday, we've probably been to 100. In this day and age, when breweries are putting out, especially some of the hazies and things like that, like they're coming out with so rapidly, like when we did the Revision beer. Now, Revision's website is super informative and really good, and they're on top of it.
Right.
But, you know, how much pressure do you think breweries feel at the rate that they're releasing beers to make sure that they're like super informative. Do you think that the general public needs that amount of information on the website, for example? Or do you think that just the fact that Anderson Valley is putting out a brute? Now, Anderson Valley might be a bad example because the rate at which they're putting out beers may not match the comparison I'm making, but, you know.
But still, it doesn't matter if you're releasing two new beers and you haven't released a new beer in a year, or you're releasing 20 new beers to match your 10, you know, 20 the year before. Releasing beers and updating your website is critical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a common theme. When I am at the brewery on like a Monday or Tuesday when our tap room is closed, the median age of the person who tries to walk up and come to the tap room is 16 above every time. I've never seen a 21-year-old kid come in there for, you know, try to get a beer on a Monday because they're attached to their phones. Content is everything, hence this podcast. That's why everyone's doing one, including Ron Burgundy. But it's one of those things where, you know, and I'm not trying to make it an ageist thing. It's just that our first reaction is to go to our phones to look something up.
Right.
To me, it's one of those things where if you're not updating your website with even something that's just like a test batch, right? Because mm-hmm. I guarantee you walk to the brewery and try this. It's at the tap room. They didn't just can it. They put it in kegs too. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, you're doing yourself a disservice by not informing the public of what beers you're working on, because your rabid fans are looking for content and they're not necessarily going to Twitter. Some of them are, but you're not going to Twitter or Instagram. You're going to go right to the source. And, you know, that's also where the beer locator is, right? So you try a beer, you want to find out where to find it if it's near you. And then you also want to see, I guarantee other people are going to click on their other beers. So why wouldn't you update that? It's just, to me, it's careless.
Well, it's a totally fair answer. I wasn't challenging you more. I was just curious.
You are.
That's it. More
knife fight. Pull it out.
Yeah. More intensity to the knife fight. God damn it. No, I wasn't challenging. I was just curious, like, you know, is the average person really, you know, putting that much effort into like researching these beers and whatnot? Are they just going to seeing the label, a brewery they appreciate? And
I think it's a mix of both.
Right? The answer is yes.
You have a dynamic label like that Tiki Totem from Bear Republic will sell. It's got a killer label. People will
the
pick
label
it up.
Is awesome. Yeah.
And I'm sure the six pack holder will look just like that. You know, the thing about the Anderson Valley one, it's, you know, I mean, I went. So that's a fairly new beer from Bear Republic.
Mm-hmm.
It's on their website. It's listed. It's posted. There's pictures of it. It tells you where to buy it. Anderson Valley, I understand there's a sticker on the can, so it's very experimental. But at the same time, you're obviously going to put it out there. And if you have to tweak your final gravity at the end of the brew and change it from 4.6 or 6.8 rather to, you know, 7.2 or, you know, 6.4, you can do that very easily. You should be able to do that on site. It's one of those things.
Yes.
Rant over. Let's try the beer.
Let's do it.
So this is their Brute IPA, going through the AA TMF, clean filtered, which is a nice change to see. So hats off there, Anderson Valley. Good job on filtering beer. We spent all thousands and thousands of dollars on learning how to filter beer to keep filtering it.
Now, we should be clear. It's not Anderson Valley's fault that the industry is not filtering beer anymore. That's just a trend thing. But we give them credit for, like, you know, actually putting a beer out that is filtered.
Putting out a new beer that's filtered.
Yeah.
But it's got a nice light copper color to it, almost like a slightly tangerine orange hint to it.
Yep.
It's like if a beer was out in the sun too long, got a little suntan.
Right. The sun-dried tomato of beers. Really. I don't know what that's
good one. Lacing's good. Foam looks like head retention's nice. I'm looking into this beer. It looks great. Aroma wise, I mean, you get a really dry. The dryness is existing into my palate just by simply smelling it.
Right, just by virtue of the.
I don't really get much of anything else. Very little hop. Mainly malt. So it's, to me, it's a little, doesn't quite taste like an IPA, doesn't smell like an IPA, and it doesn't match the 6.8% ABV.
See, I think it does smell like an IPA. It's got a little bit of that, like, it's not a super hoppy, danky Northern California IPA that we're used to, and Anderson Valley in a lot of ways hasn't really put out that kind of stuff anyway. No,
that's not their style.
That's not their style at all. And so I think that there is a little bit of subtlety in the nose. There is some hop there. I see what you're saying, though. It's like there's no like skunkiness to this at all. It really is only sort of sweet hop. It's not even any malt, really. It's just very subtle sweet hop. But
yeah, I wish I could look up the hops that were in this beer, mm-hmm. but they're not listed on the website.
So the Brut IPA thing, as we talked about on the radio and as we've talked about on this show, it started at Social Kitchen. It's an enzyme in it that eats up all the residual sugar. I suddenly cannot hear myself.
How about that?
I can hear myself now. Okay. There's an enzyme that they put in the beer that eats up all the residual sugar to give you a drier finish. There's a common misconception that it's champagne yeast or something like that. It's just the dryness and the carbonation level. And this beer delivers on that. It does have a dry finish.
Yes.
But it's not like an overly clean finish, though. There is something that kind of lingers. It's not like dry. It's not drying in an overall pleasant way. There is like a flavor profile that lingers that I don't particularly care for.
It's an off-tasting pine.
Off-tasting pine. Hold on.
Right. I mean, I guess if you've ever tasted a bad pine cone, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's one of those things where the pine lingers, but it doesn't linger in its usual like sticky,
yeah,
piney way. It feels like it's just kind of off course a little bit.
So, yes, I totally agree with you. Now that I'm into it, most of the Brut IPAs that we've tasted that I've been a big fan of have like finish really clean and dry, and there is no lingering flavor, right? Like it is,
right?
It cuts off, it dries you out. You want to go in for another sip because you're still thirsty, not because, you know, not because you want to wash out the last remaining flavor from the beer, which, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with this. It's not like it. The carbonation level is good. That
I was going to say the exact opposite. I felt like the other Brut IPAs with they trying to kind of ruse the drinker had a little bit dialed up CO2 volume, which to me helps with the palate cleanse part of that. This doesn't have that at all.
That's totally fair. I think you're right. Some of the other ones that we've had have had higher carbonation, but this one
has it's decent for an IPA, but for what this style is, I feel like it needs to be a little bit more.
But don't you feel like
a nut?
Sometimes you don't. Don't you feel like if they're going to do this enzyme to eat up the residual sugars to make it a drier beer, do you want them hiding behind a higher CO2 content?
I think it's.
Or is that just part of it?
I think it's a two-part thing. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, just like a heavy hand with hops, also comes the subtlety of being able to balance out your beer. You know, balance is the key. I think any brewer will tell you, home brewer or professional, that a unbalanced beer, for whatever reason, whether it's water properties or hop or your grains are just not quite there. You know, you have over toasted malts, things like that. I mean, if you can't balance out the flavor, then there's the beer is not pleasant. And I feel like this is something that's unbalanced, mm-hmm. because of that CO2 volume. I'm not saying it has to be up that high, but I would expect it to be that high.
Right.
Just like when people, you know, 10 years ago were drinking IPAs by the truckload, and you had a certain standard that you expected. I'm not necessarily saying that they can't buck the system and make their own Brut IPA, but I think they would offer a little bit better flavor profile to this one. I just think it's something that just, it's sticking around. It doesn't need to be here. It's loitering. It is loitering on my palate right now. And not, it's just, You know?
Yeah, I think I totally see what you're saying, and I totally understand, and I don't disagree with you in that regard. I was really only just asking, like, you know, are we poo-pooing the CO2 because of the way that we've had it before?
I just think we're
comfortable with that, or is it just that's just the way that's better?
I think it's
higher CO2.
It's also that there's a mismatch with the malt and the hops. There's something that's just not right, and it just tastes a little off-putting. Now, maybe the fact there's a giant sticker over it that says not for resale might be the answer. They might be still tweaking this recipe. But to me, this is, it's not a very good beer. I'd love to leave it in the comments section on their website. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not loving this beer either.
No. Two swings and a miss.
You know, unfortunately for Anderson Valley, I don't know the last time we had something where we really loved it.
I really love their Wild Turkey series. Their bourbon barrel style.
Do you?
I do like them a lot.
This is where it gets weird because I just think it's like the Bourbon County or the Bourbon County, the bourbon barrel stuff, like the stuff we tasted for Out of Bounds, which hopefully we're making a trip out there after the first of the year. The stuff we tasted.
Here's a hot take. I've got a special agent bringing some Out of Bounds into town on Saturday.
Perfect. Thanks, Pickles.
I didn't say you're getting any of it. Don't thank him yet.
So, well, he's not bringing me any because I told him that his hot takes on college football were terrible. I totally fucking lost my train of thought. Sorry. Oh, the bourbon. So my thing with their Wild Turkey is that it punches you in the face with the fact that it's a bourbon barrel aged beer. Like
that's what Wild Turkey is.
The 101 is. The Wild Turkey 101 is, but most of the Wild Turkey stuff, just the standard bourbon, everything else is not nearly that strong. So my feeling is like, yeah, I can appreciate that you're using the Wild Turkey bourbon barrels and this and that. But most people who are drinking a beer that has been aged, they're looking for all of the nuance that goes along with it. And this beer just tastes like the beginner's bourbon barrel aged beer. Like, hey, have you ever wondered what it would be like to drop in like a wood chip, a shot of wild turkey into a stout? Here's what it is. It feels very over the top to me.
I can see the extremity part of that. But I think also if you lay it down properly, I had one that was just a year in and it was delicious. I thought it was amazing. Plus their salted caramel porter is pretty good too.
Salted caramel porter is great. And I we've talked about this. I like the Solstice beers that they do. And I think the Kimi the Ink and the Goza, I think are great.
Yeah.
And we've sampled those as well. So Anderson Valley does good work. This just happens to be like the second beer in a row from them that we haven't really liked. It totally happens.
If you three-peat, you get banned from the show. It's a fact. I just made that up right now.
If you three-peat, you don't let us taste any more beers on our show either.
Yeah.
That's probably what ends up happening. We don't need the bad press. Ladies and gentlemen, only two beers today. Maybe that's better for the world. We'd hate to just continue shitting on beers this week.
Yeah, exactly.
It is getting to be about that time. That is Ben Perry. I am Brad Barmore. We have sampled two beers for you today. Hopefully it helps you make some decisions on the shelf at your local beer vendor. If you have some beers that you taste that you want us to try, or if you disagree with our ideas and opinions on these beers, please let us know. You can reach out to us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, or email the show at sportsmeetsbeer@gmail.com. This is episode 93. You can check out all 92 previous episodes. You can look forward to one more episode after this, at least maybe 100 more, but we can guarantee it will be at least one more episode.
Okay.
But until then, ladies and gentlemen.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Since it's beer, wouldn't it be considered a cold take? I'm out of here. That's it. That's all. I'm leaving on that note.
You don't want your beer too cold, Ben. Now you're misinforming the guests. God damn it.
So that would be a ambient temperature take?
It'd be like a 50 degree take.
I think 46 is a good temp.
Yeah, fine. It feels cold.
Sports Mates Beer.